Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a great day. Well, here's a question for you. What kinds of words would you use to describe your prayer life? What kind of words would you use to describe your prayer life, if you're honest? Maybe, and I've heard these from friends before, timid, inconsistent, half-hearted at best. Or maybe it's more like a shot in the dark. I pray, hoping he'll answer, but I really have no idea if he will. Well, what if we moved to such a place of intimacy with God that we actually began to use these kinds of words to describe our prayer life because they were just our experience and our reality? Bold, courageous, precise, powerful, humble, confident, assured. Well, my guest today is Sue Detweiler, and she's my sister from another mother. Just saying. She joins me to share how we can pray with confidence, boldness, and grace. The title of her book is Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. And just so you know, because I know we have as many men listening as women, these concepts are for guys too. So you hang with us because we're going to talk about what it means to pray in a way that we see mountains move. So this is for everybody today, and super glad you tuned in. Couple quick announcements before we get Sue on the program with me. We have an amazing Faith Radio app. Thousands and thousands of people are taking advantage of this great thing because it's free. All you have to do is go to the Apple App Store or on Google Play, download it, make a search, Faith Radio Network, that'll help you find it. But that way, if you're traveling in the seasons to come, or when you feel like the signals may be staticky because of where you're driving, you get onto that app, you'll get a nice clear signal. You can listen to the show live, or you can catch the podcast after the fact. It's just fantastic, and it's free. So take advantage, Apple App Store or Google Play. Also want to say just a shout out to friends. If you're listening in one of our new markets, we just want to get our arms around you, gather you in, hug you, and say, man, welcome to the family. We're so grateful to be part of your family. So if I could just give a shout out to friends listening in on 94.1 FM in Hartford. If you're brand new to the family, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. 93.1 FM in Waterloo. 104.7 FM in Madison, or maybe one of our two FM signals in the Twin Cities, 90.7 FM, 97.5 FM, or maybe you're streaming online from somewhere around the world. I happen to know we've got friends from around the world who now listen live streaming online. But if you're new to the family, send an email to me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Say, new listener, tell me where you're listening from. And every week I pick a couple names from that list, and we'll send you some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. It's just sort of a way to welcome you to the family. And if you want to take it to a next step and get a welcome packet, that's something you actually have to request. It's free, but request it on our website, and you'll get just an amazing amount of encouraging information and information on our programming and encouraging content as well. Again, myfaithradio.com. All right, my guest today writes this. The starting point of prayer is God. Like a father who waits to hear every detail of your life, he waits for you. You don't need to get dressed up and go to church to reverently pray. The God of the universe invites you to come as you are, and you can endure anything with God at your side. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Sue Detweiler is a wife. Listen to this. Mother of six, author, radio host, pastor with over 25 years of experience in leadership, ministry, and education. She's also a popular speaker who shares her heart and wisdom internationally on issues related to marriage, family, women, prayer, leadership, and ministry. She and her husband, Wayne, recently relocated to Frisco, Texas to plant LifeBridge Church north of Dallas. Dear Sue, so glad to have you on the show.
I'm glad to be here, Susie. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, absolutely. We're looking forward to a great conversation, and I'm going to jump off the beaten path just because you are a Texan, wondering if we could just, before we get into your scripture and the content of your book, if you would do us the honor of praying for the people of Houston right now. Just, we can't get them off our minds. Would you?
Yes.
Can we just pause and have you intercede?
Yes. Well, right now, we stand before the throne united, and we pray that your healing love, your rescuing power, your comfort in the midst of the storm, that you would reach in and you would literally save people from the rising waters. Mm-hmm. Father, we pray for your provision. We pray for the practical things of a warm home and water to drink and clothes to wear and food to eat. And Father, we pray that this terrible storm, Lord, that you would use it to bring families closer together and connect families to the family of God. We pray this in the loving name of Jesus Christ, who cares.
Amen. In the loving name of Jesus Christ, who cares? That's absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Sue, so much. Well, we love to start every day talking scripture, and I know you're a woman who loves God's word. Do you either have a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us?
I have so many scriptures that pop off the page. One of my life verses is Ephesians 2:10, that we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I'm passionate about people realizing who they are in Christ and doing what they've been created to do, and knowing that that often means a process of healing through the power of prayer.
Thank you. That's powerful. Well, you open the first chapter, talk about hitting the ground running. You open with this story about a time when your house was on fire. Tell us that story, if you would.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those stories, those nightmares that you never want to be in. I was a young mom. My newborn baby was 5 weeks old. Mm. And we had driven home from vacation, and I put her to sleep in her crib, and then I fell sound asleep. And the next thing I knew is she was screaming, but it was a different type of cry than the cry that I had heard before. It was urgent. It was fearful. So, of course, I got up out of bed, and most moms, we can find our way in the dark to our child's crib. But somehow I was disoriented, and I got stuck in a closet that was next to the doorway. And by that time, I'm clawing, turned around in my closet, and I don't even know what direction to go. And I went across the room, lifted up the window, and then that's when I realized that my house was on fire. And I remember trying to scream, but my throat was already hoarse and raspy, and it was a two-story window. So I knew that, one, I didn't even know how to find my way out of the room, let alone save my daughter. So I just dropped to my knees, and I prayed that prayer that everyone that's facing death prays. I prayed help. And that fiery pit is something that no one wants to be found in.
Tell us what happened then.
Well, by the grace of God, my husband had gotten home and gone to the church to prepare for the next day. It was Sunday. And when he drove back, I can't imagine how he felt. Mm. That the whole sky was lit up and people had driven into our neighborhood to try and figure out what was going on. And there was a fire truck, and one fireman was holding a hose on a house next to us that had been under construction, but the roof was on and windows in, and it had already burned to the ground completely.
Wow.
And he had only been gone a half an hour. And so it was one of those events where he just went, grabbed the fireman dropped the hose. We learned later that several fire trucks had been stopped by a train. So it was one of those times when he rushed with those minutes and went to the door. He got Rachel Joy out, our five-week-old baby. And then the fireman came around the corner, and, you know, I don't remember his face. He shone a light, and it was probably one of those great big flashlights, but it looked like a tiny pin light coming through just the smoke. And he said these words, "Come towards the light." And then he grabbed me, carried me out, and rushed both of us to the hospital. And it was just one of those frightening, frightening moments. And my daughter, who had been screaming and alert, was now kind of hanging limp, and her arms were hanging and her head was hanging. And what I found out later is that most people die from smoke inhalation. They don't die necessarily from the burns, but really it's what happens when the smoke invades our body. And so we had a whole process at the hospital of being treated. And then in the early morning hours is when I picked up the phone and I called my mom. And she really, in my opinion, is the hero of the story. Even though it was the fireman and my husband that rescued us, when I talked to my mom, I was all frantic, and she was peaceful, and that peace just came over the phone line. And I said, "Mom, we're okay." And when I told this story, she said, "Oh, you're the ones I've been praying for." And she had felt so strongly for a whole month. She was fasting and she was praying. And the scripture she was meditating on was Isaiah 43, which part of that is, "You will go through the fire and you will not be burned, and the flames will not consume you." And as she told us that scripture that she'd been praying, it was like peace just began to flood my heart. And to know that God had saved us from the fire, and that he had someone that had already been praying for us.
Well, that about chokes me right up, Sue. That's such an amazing story. And there are countless stories in our history and in our world right now of people who've responded to the nudge of the Spirit and altered the course of history. And I know that's a part of your heart, that we would walk so intimately with God, that we would respond to the nudge, we would intercede, because it affects outcomes. I'm talking to Sue Detweiler. I'm trying hard not to cry. Title of her book is Women Who Move Mountains. Men, you need this book too. Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. We've got 3 copies. I wish we had 20, but Sue and I know some people. Well, that people, her name is Grace. We have Shira, publicist, and she's pretty generous. So I think I could get a few more than 3 copies. Email if you want in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget that mailing address. We're going to talk about what it means to pray with confidence, with courage, with grace and boldness. When we come back in a minute. That song, I hear it all the time, and I love it every bit as much every time I hear it. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author, speaker, pastor Sue Detweiler. Her book has just got a gorgeous cover by Bethany House. It's called Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. And I said this at the open of the show, this conversation is for men too, I'm telling you what. Sue, I would love to just know just a little backstory, history on how your prayer life has evolved over the years, and even what you know about God and prayer now that you didn't know back then.
You know, it is a journey, isn't it, of praying. And I think when I think about how God has used prayer in my life, I learned from my mom. She really was a model of somebody that sought God intimately. And also in college, I found myself going deeper in prayer, partly because I was endeavoring to overcome just the pain of being sexually abused as a child. And I remember going to the quiet place. It was an actual place on my Christian college campus where you could take your Bible and journal, and it was quiet. And I began to have this journaling prayer time with God, where I would write a question, and then in faith I would listen to his response. And it really was one of those things that brought healing to my mind and my heart when I was overcoming this personally. And I felt so much love and grace. So journaling has definitely been one of my prayer times, and just believing that the God of the universe, if we listen, we hear in part that he wants to communicate to us. He communicates through the scripture, but he also, when we pray and we listen, he's going to speak to us in some way. So I feel like I'm still growing in that, and that imperfect journey. But when you walk every day with someone, they become your best friend. There's no one that knows more intimately about the joys and the sorrows of my life than God.
Amen.
And that's the joy of being able to be in conversation with him all the time.
What would you say, Sue, that you know about him now that maybe you didn't know just because of, you know, maturity and experience? Mm-hmm. What do you say? I know this about him now. I didn't know it then, but I know it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I grew up as a farm girl on a Mennonite farm. So I grew up Mennonite, and I was fearful. I don't think my personality was fearful, but there were a lot of things I didn't know about God, and I tended to become afraid, you know, feeling like I needed to perform to please him. And one of the things that I did not know about God comes from a key scripture for this book, and it's when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said this, and it's written in the red if you want to look at it. In Mark 11, he said, "Have faith in God, and I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and not have doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours." That is not something I knew. You know, that place where, and we all have them, we all have these mountains that are difficult to overcome. We have these situations in our family, and it seems impossible to reconcile. We have situations of a divorce and being healed from that. We have situations where people are sick. We have these mountains, disappointment, rejection, and knowing how to speak to the mountain in prayer and see it move and believe that God will move it.
Hmm. I'd love to know, if you don't mind sharing, some mountains you've personally seen move in your life or for those for whom you've prayed.
Well, I think fear is definitely one of those mountains. You know, if I would have stayed as a Mennonite farm girl, which, believe me, there's probably a lot of Mennonite. I love my heritage. I love the fact that I was raised with just the love for God and family and hard work. There's so many things I love about growing up Mennonite. So I just want to clarify that. I think for me, I would have been tempted to stay in my little circle and never reach out beyond it. And so overcoming fear is one of those things that cripples you. You can't fulfill God's call on your life if you stay fearful. If you stay fearful, you're constantly playing it safe. But if you really have faith in the God of the universe that things that are impossible can be possible when we come into agreement with him, that's amazing. And what I think, Susie, is that you're transformed in the process.
Yeah.
It's not like you come to God, you're all strong and mighty. I'm not. I usually come to God and I'm weak, I'm broken. There are things that I'm struggling with, but it's in being in his presence and reading his word and believing his word that I'm changed, I'm transformed. So I think fear would really be one of those mountains that I've struggled with. And then rejection is definitely another mountain. And every woman I know, I don't know a woman that doesn't struggle with rejection. I think men struggle with it as well. It may look a little bit different. But rejection is one of those things that can really control you. If you're trying to please people all the time, again, you won't be able to obey God, because God always calls us out beyond our comfort. He calls us to get out of the boat and walk on the water. And if we're afraid that we're going to be rejected, we won't do those things that God has called us to do.
We really do have so much in common, Sue. Sue and I have connected before this show and are praying about different ministry things together, but it is a marvel how similar our stories are on so many levels. Appreciate the way that you've contended for your freedom, Sue. And wonder if you don't mind, we've probably got about 2.5 minutes to break, so you can start this and then pick it up on the other side. But talk about and explore some of the roadblocks to prayer.
One of the biggest roadblocks to life-giving intimate prayer is religion. And that may not sound like a roadblock, because we know that going to church is a wonderful thing, but religion has to do with rules and performance. And it is a roadblock to intimate, life-giving prayer.
Boy. And how about, you know, I'm thinking about Israelites, for instance. A lot of scholars say, you know, that their fear turned into rebellion, basically, because they went to, you know, and you think about that. And when we coddle our fears more than we cling to the presence and promise of God, I mean, I know I'm someone who's very much struggled with fear and have gained so much ground. I've got a ways to go. So that's just being honest here. But it's really sobering when I think of how your fear can turn into rebellion when you're clinging to it more than the promises. That can impact your prayer life, can it?
Oh, definitely. And rebellion, you know, we've all walked in rebellion. We've all been deceived. We've all been hard-necked. You know, we've all gone astray. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. So if anybody's listening, just know we're all on this path of seeking to know God.
Yeah, and he's gracious to us. I mean, he cares for us when we're afraid. When we come back, I would love to explore a couple more roadblocks that maybe we just don't think about, things that are standing right in our path that we have something to do about. We can move, we can even speak to that roadblock and say, hey, you need to get out of the way. But there's times where we're sort of in agreement with the very thing that's holding us back from our prayer. We'll explore that with Sue Detweiler. She's got a beautiful cover. I got cover envy. I'm thinking I just kind of do a little bit. I love this cover. Women who move.
It's
amazing. Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. Sue Detweiler is my guest. We've got 3 copies. And guys, if you're listening, you will love this book. I want you to email if you want in on the drawing. Grace heard her name mentioned, which now I'm mentioning it a second time, but she said, yes, okay, I'll give you a few more copies. So we've got probably 6 copies. Grace, would that be okay? 6 copies to give away. Susie at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address, and we'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Sue Detweiler. She's written a beautiful book titled Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. And this book is for guys, too. I'm just saying, great, great content. It'll inspire you to pray with precision and with power. We've got a handful of copies to give away, thanks to Bethany House Publishers and Grace Casper, who just, I got to say, she used to work for me as an assistant producer for years. She's moved over to Bethany House, and now she serves as a publicist. And, hey, Grace, we love you. We miss you, but you're exactly where God want you. So, Sue, let's talk a little bit more about roadblocks, if we can, to answer prayer, because I just think sometimes we don't even realize there's stuff in our path that we maybe have something to do with and we can do something about to see more traction in our prayers.
You know, there are so many different roadblocks. During the break, I was thinking of a roadblock of health, and you may not think that health is a roadblock, but when you're feeling really bad and your mind is fuzzy and you don't have the energy, that can be a roadblock to prayer. And it's one of those times, there's different ways that we can pray. It's one of those times that praying the scripture, praying what the word says, is an effective way because it renews your mind. You start to believe what the scripture says. I find health being one of those roadblocks to prayer, that what the enemy meant for evil can work good in our lives as we embrace God who cares for us and heals us.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is, what you know, it can be a roadblock if you let it be. I mean, as someone who's battled for so much that way, it also can be a catalyst to absolute desperation and passion.
Yes.
And intimacy with God.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, even unbelief, I mean, it only takes a seed, a mustard
yes.
seed of faith. But, and that's where we need to be bold enough to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, because it's the unbelief that gets in the way. We got to wrestle with that thing and not just so easily live with it, you know?
Yes. And, you know, I tried to attack that in the book, and every other chapter is set up to be a healing journey. And one of the things I talk about is the lies we believe and then the truth. And this began in my own prayer journey, where when I knew I was stuck, I would open up my journal. On the left side of the page, I would write down all the lies I was believing. And then on the right side, I would write the scripture. And sometimes it took a while for me to listen. You know, what lie am I believing? Am I agreeing with? Because when we come into agreement with the lies that the enemy is speaking over us, then we don't find the power of freedom. And that was one of my strategies, to believe more what God said in his promises than to believe the false evidence appearing real of my situation.
Wow. You know, this is an excerpt from your book. You said, the enemy's like a blowfish. He will try to exaggerate things in your life and lead you to live in extremes. I mean, let's just look around. We're seeing that in our culture. I want you to hear that again. The enemy's like a blowfish. He will try to exaggerate things in your life and lead you to live in extremes. Learning to embrace who you are in Christ requires that you know Christ intimately. I'd love for you to say more.
Well, this has been one of those images that I have used in my... It helps me to gain clarity, because this happens to me a lot, where I start meditating on the problem. I start thinking about the problem, and maybe it starts out that I'm trying to solve the problem in my mind. And when you spend a lot of time thinking, dwelling on, meditating on your problem, then you magnify whatever you meditate on. And so you are increasing the size. And really, there are times that our problems are beyond us. And rather than looking down introspectively at them, we need to just let it drop, look up, and begin to meditate on God's goodness mm-hmm. and his character. And it allows, and you can tell in your prayer life, because you may start out struggling, straining, feeling anxious, but as you come and you really look away from that blowfish and you look into the eyes of God, you will sense a peace. You will sense just a calm. And you'll, if you don't know exactly what to do at that moment, it will be okay. You feel his peace and you know he's got it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And we touched on fear a little bit earlier, but I want you to unpack this statement that I thought was so good from your book. You said, fear puts God on trial. Say more if you would, Sue.
Well, fear is so debilitating. And a lot of times when you're thinking about the things that you're afraid of, they may actually make a lot of logical sense. So, for example, moving to Texas, when we had spent 28 years in ministry, pastoral ministry in Nashville, Tennessee, if you look at that, that doesn't make logical sense. It doesn't add up. And yet, there are times that God calls us to take this leap of faith and follow him where he's leading us, and we don't have every answer. It's kind of like that one movie where he's stepping out and there's no bridge, and he steps in his feet, and then the invisible bridge goes before his feet. That at times we need to put our faith into action, and that's what drives out the fear. Sometimes we have to do it afraid, and in the midst of that, that's how we find his courage.
Hmm. Let's have you speak to the person who feels like they're broken into a thousand pieces. I love this. This was actually on the first page and just gives you a sense of what this book is like. You write, as you come close to God in prayer, he brings purpose even from the brokenness of your life. You can't remain downcast when you turn your face upward to God. He reaches down to your lowest pit, but he doesn't leave you there. So I'd just love for you to speak to that person who feels like they're so broken and so worn out from the battle that they almost feel too weary to even pray. What do you have to say to them?
Well, there's good news.
Yeah.
Even when you don't know what to pray or what to say, I think sometimes the deepest prayers are those that we can't even find the words. They can be the sighing or the sobs or the heart cry, that God knows intimately those things. And it's not about us doing something perfectly so that he will hear us. It's much more that he is hearing us. He does know, but the prayer is what delivers us from our fear. So if you're feeling shattered and you really don't know what to do, it's okay. God knows what to do. And if you can concentrate on being in his presence and let go of your list, your to-do list, what you ought to do, what you should do, just let it fall to the ground and just look up and know that he's created you with a purpose. And this mess that you're in will become your message. This trial is going to become your testimony if you allow the healing power of God to reach into your pit and bring you into that place of promise.
So if you want, if you were, someone were to ask you, if they're sitting with you for coffee, just saying, how do I grow in faith so that I can pray with a confidence and a boldness? How do I get more faith? What would you say?
Well, Susie, I am so passionate about this book. I would say grab a copy of my book. I mean, really, because when you have a resource like your resources on prayer, there are times we need a jumping off place where we can look at scriptures that are lined up. So I have a whole chapter that's talking about learning to pray in faith. And there's a whole process. I think that helps. I think it helps to look at the scriptures, meditate on them, look at the lies, choose to believe the truth. So I think those processes are important. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you're stuck, there was one part of the book that I took out of the book, and I made it a free ebook. You can get it on my website, SueDatweiler.com, and it's called Five Steps of Grace. And basically, it's written prayers that you can pray, and it's, you can either pray it with somebody that's a leader in your life, or you can just set aside time and go through it and pray it out loud. But I found that when I'm stuck, sometimes I need to just kind of clean out the closet of my life. And when I clean that closet out, then the faith is renewed, and the faith takes first place in my life. So that's free. You can find it, and it can help you in your walk of faith.
Yeah, and I'd love to add this, too, that whatever your battles are right now is your opportunity to grow your faith, engage your faith, stand on God's word, you know. Don't let,
yes,
your emotions win the day. I feel like so often, Sue, for me, it's been wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off, where I'm just learning to engage my faith in the daily battle. And then you get through it and you go, oh my goodness, and something else comes at you, and you're like, this is like a little gnat, where before it would have felt like a pterodactyl to me. But I realized how God uses our daily battles. Here's an opportunity, and when he started to show me, you're more protected than you know, this is sparring practice, so go at it. I mean, I started to really learn to stand in a way that I'd never realized I could, and really everybody's got obstacles and battles right now to navigate, like, you know, to in a way to become more agile and to become better with the sword and the shield, you know?
Oh, I love that. I do. And I think it's every time we read the word, it's like taking nourishment into our body and lifting up a pair of weights and, you know, pumping iron. And we don't have to feel anointed for there to be the power of his presence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how we feel. It's the truth of walking with him.
Indeed.
I like that. I like that wax on, wax off. That's great.
It's really just been my life, but I'm telling you, it proves itself over and over again. When you take on a new battle, you're like, I know this. I've been practicing this, you know. How about this? What does it mean to pray with conviction? Say more about that.
Well, there are times that we pray wimpy prayers because we don't want to be disappointed by God. And we have all felt disappointments. And yet when you know that God cares, and that even if he doesn't answer your prayer like you wanted him to, that he's present and that he's hearing you, then you're more likely to have a conviction about his character. So if you know what the Word of God says about God himself, and you pray in agreement with his character, you can feel a firm conviction that you're praying in agreement with heaven's will, and you're bringing heaven's perspective to earth. And Jesus modeled that in Matthew 6 when he talked about when you pray, your kingdom come. And if you study that in the Greek, I mean, it's just this really powerful proclamation, like kingdom come. And when you realize that we've been placed on this earth from Genesis 1:26 to have dominion, and that part of how we have dominion is we come into agreement with God's will, and we bring it to earth. And when you know that God is good, you will have that conviction that you're praying to a good God and that he cares about you and that he hears you.
He hears you. Talking to Sue Detweiler, we've got a good handful of copies of Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. Thanks to Bethany House for your generosity. Email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie spelled S-U-S-I-E. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember that mailing address. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to pray healing prayers. We're going to talk about the power of shame. And then we're going to talk about, Lord willing, if we got the time, what it means to let peace rule and reign in our hearts. More with Sue Detweiler in a minute. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of the Promise, talking to author, pastor, speaker Sue Detweiler. She's written an amazing book titled Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. So glad to have her with us today. And we've been just having a great conversation. If you just hopped in the car, just tuned in, this is when you want to go back and catch the conversation from the very beginning. But speak, if you would, Sue, to what it means to pray healing prayers. What does that look like?
Well, God is a healer. So I think beginning with that fact that Exodus 15:26 talks about, that I am the Lord who heals you. I think that's important to know that you don't have to beg him to heal you, body, mind, soul, spirit. It's already his heart. It's already his character. And so I often, when I'm being healed of something, I usually need to start with just the simple fact of acknowledging my pain. You know, if I deny it or shove it down, it's not going to help anything. So if I just start by acknowledging my pain before the Lord, then I'm able to receive His love and restoration. And whenever there's been a place where someone has hurt you or wounded you, a beginning place is forgiveness and forgiving them from the heart, and setting up those boundaries of safety so that you can walk in wholeness. And I know that in terms of healing, since He heals body, mind, soul, and spirit, I know that all of these things go together, and they're woven together in His healing in my life.
And He's a good God, and He wants so much to bring restoration to our lives. I think when people experience passionate prayer for healing and it doesn't happen, they take their hands off the wheel altogether to say, I've tried it, it doesn't work. But I'm telling you, it's if we could err on the side of faith, I feel like you're always better and your soul always is stronger when you err on the side of faith and trust the outcome to God. And would love for you to speak about the power of shame and how God wants to trade shame for something else. Speak to shame and that whole issue, if you would.
Well, shame is one of those things that really defies your personhood. And guilt and shame will often go together. Guilt has to do with if you have sinned, then you will feel the guilt of that sin. But shame has more to do with those things that have been done to you. And there's different times that you may feel shame, and it doesn't have anything to do with your personal choices. So I started out with a story from my mother, and she had grown up as the poorest person in town, and she felt the shame of poverty. And it wasn't anything that she had done, but she was under it and needing to just lift that off of her, that that's not how God saw her. And there are times that we have to be lifted out of things that the world would put on us. I know for me as a woman, I had never heard a woman preach on a Sunday morning. And I don't know that I felt a lot of fear, and it might not have been shame so much, but there were times that I would feel like what I felt called to do was something that other people might not like it. So those places where we've been pressed down, sometimes we have to just lift up and find out what God's saying. And shame is one of those areas. When you know what God is saying about you, that you're chosen, that you're dearly loved, that you're valued, that you have a purpose, and whether anyone understands that or not, that freedom that we find from shame is something that I believe only God can minister to the deepest places. He'll use human beings to do it, but it's really a work of God's grace when shame is broken.
Boy, it's so true. It's a work of grace when God's grace when shame is broken. So often it's such a deep part of our root system. It has to, you know, it probably gets in when we don't even realize it, when life lets us down or we're hurt in some way. I want to talk for a moment. We've probably got about 3.5 minutes or so before it's time to pray. But Scripture says, you know, let peace rule and reign in your hearts. And that sounds, it is right, and it's a charge. It's from Scripture, of course, but there's times it feels easier said than done. And I love this. You said God's peace establishes order and balance in your life and home. God's peace is a tangible force that overwhelms overwrought emotions with God's powerful presence. His peace anchors your thoughts and steadies your emotions. His peace strengthens your ability to face stress-filled situations with calm serenity. Replacing your anxiety with God's peace in a moment by moment is a moment-by-moment choice to view God as bigger than your problem. God's peace is the absence of inner conflict and turmoil. God's peace is embracing the character of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Say more, if you would, about peace, especially for those who maybe battle anxiety.
Wow, just knowing that He is the Prince of Peace is so important. You know, and anxiety is terrible, and it can be chemically related. I mean, there are times that you may be taking a pre-workout and it is making you anxious. So check things like that. Sometimes there's a chemical imbalance that can actually cause anxiety. But peace is something that comes from that relationship with God. And for me, often I don't start there, but it's where I end up as I pursue Him. And meditating on the truth helps bring about that peace. And then one of the things about the scripture that you started out with, that it rules our hearts, if you look that up in the Greek, it comes from the word umpire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there
blowing
are times
the whistle.
You think mm-hmm. about an umpire that just says, out. There are times that we don't even need to bring situations into our mind and perspective. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, we just say, out of there. And we don't meditate on it anymore. And we choose to have the mind of Christ. And that will bring peace.
Wow. So say a word as we get ready to wrap here about the charge to trade perfectionism with presence. I love that one, too.
Well, perfectionism is an evil taskmaster. All of us are going to fall short, and we may try to have things all together, but at some point in your life, you're going to break before the pressure. And I think we don't serve a God of performance. We serve a God of presence.
Mm-hmm.
And our efforts will never be able to do in our lives what the presence of God can.
Amen. One last excerpt as we get ready to pray here. So you write this: coming into God's presence through reading His word, waiting in prayer, worshiping, and even daily living can erode perfectionistic tendencies in our lives. So if you would just say one last word to somebody listening today who just feels like they cannot get off the striving wheel and they're driven, just the invitation to rest in God's presence. You have a word of advice for them.
Yes. You know, I had a word at the beginning of the year, and it was an acronym for REST, R-E-S-T. And that when I rest in His presence, R, it will revive expectancy, surrender, and trust.
Hmm.
And that has been one of those things that I have been meditating on, is that rest revives our hearts, and it builds that expectancy that we can surrender to God and we can trust the outcome. That's an acronym for REST.
That's great. That might be just the ticket for somebody today. As soon as we get ready to wrap, I'm wondering if you would pray for God's people that we would awaken to a whole new level of intimacy with God and power in our prayers. Would you pray?
God, You know every need, and You know that there are some where it has felt like You have been pulling back the secret places of their heart. And I pray, God, that they would feel comfortable coming into that secret place knowing that You're for them. Father, I believe You to heal pain, and I believe You, God, to make us to be more like You through the power of prayer. And Lord, I pray for a fresh confidence, boldness, and grace to pray, knowing that You hear and You answer.
Amen. Well, Sue, dear Sue, thank you for joining us today. Really love the conversation.
It was great to be here, Susie.
Good to be with you as well. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget to enter the drawing. We've got a good handful of copies of Sue's book, Women Who Move Mountains. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Coming up next for hour two, Heather Holloman joins me to talk about her study, Included in Christ. If you feel constantly on the outside of the circle, it's hard for you to picture that you actually are included in Christ. You're going to want to stay tuned. Another great hour is up ahead, so don't go away. Hour two is up next. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.